I want to say again that I appreciate your presence. I hope and pray that it will be profitable in some measure to you. We have a number of more visitors tonight than we had this morning, and I hope that that's a good sign, at least, maybe for us to get together. We've stopped by here tonight on our journey to eternity. We're going to spend a few minutes thinking about that journey and maybe thinking what that means to us as we live here. I started to call this sermon Diamonds Are Forever, but I looked in the Bible and that's not in the Bible. I don't know. I got to thinking about it. Maybe that came from my wife, but that's not in the Bible. So, but really, diamonds are not forever, as this lesson will plainly teach you. And so I thought of that. And what we're talking about tonight is that time things and the eternal things. And to preparing for time things is a different proposition from preparing for eternal things. If you have trouble preparing for time things, chances are you're going to have some trouble preparing for eternal things. Most people don't realize that heaven and earth is timed. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, Peter plainly says that there shall come scoffers, that means people's going to make light of the truth, walking in the last days and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were from the foundation of the world." Now that doctrine is the doctrine of uniformitarianism on which evolution is based. All things continue. You cut a tree down, that's how old it is. You look at a rock and you test that rock with carbon or whatever and you say it's always had the same pressure and the same thing. But that's an absolutely falsehood. The Genesis flood messed up uniformitarianism. The world changed its aging process during that time if there were a Genesis flood. Why do evolutionists always, almost without exception, deny the universal flood? Because they know evolution cannot be scientifically or nothing else proved because of it. But the Bible plainly says that this place on which we stand is a timed place. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And Peter says it very plainly there in 2 Peter 3, that the Bible teaches that this heaven and earth shall pass, and then there will be a new heaven and an earth. And so that's a time thing. Then a lot of people think, and I used to think, you know, my grandma used to repeat, I don't think she believed it, that before the end of time, you can't tell the difference between summer and winter. Yeah. Well, the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says when Noah came out of the ark, that he offered sacrifice to God. And God said at that time that seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter shall not cease. Don't worry about what Al Gore says. Think about what the Apostle Peter says. He says that these things will come have be timed and they will continue to the end of time. And of course, if you know what they're based on, the world's going to keep spinning until the end of time. And then, of course, the kingdoms of men. We sing the kingdoms of men pass away one by one. The average age of any kingdom of men is 200 years. The United States is somewhat over the average at this time. The kingdoms of men do pass away. When I was in school, we had a book that taught us about when Portugal and Spain divided the world in two. One took half and the other took half. If you picked up that book now, many people would laugh at it because that's the way it goes. Great Britain was once the powerhouse of this world. Do you know anything about Great Britain today? Any people, and I love Great Britain because we've got ancestors in there. Came from Ireland myself, I guess, way back then because I'm pretty old. But anyway, they spent $127 billion, was that right, or million, like, on the Queen's inaugural, celebrating the Queen, and they couldn't pay for the dinner if half the group is coming. Anyway, that's the way we operate, you know. But the Bible says kingdoms of men will pass away. And then of death is timed. Now, it is appointed unto man once to die. This life is timed, and death is timed. And we're going to die. The living know that they shall die. God has wound you up. You may run for 70 years. I'm hoping to run for 90 maybe. If I keep my mind, you might say, that's already gone, so give up. But anyway, but I don't want to live if I'm not in good health. I don't guess you do either, but wouldn't have much to do about that. But the Bible teaches us that we're in a timed existence. Time itself is time. We sing sometime, when time shall be no more. Won't it be wonderful when you don't have to get somewhere on time because time stands still? You just don't have to get nowhere. And I have lived a slave to time all my life, except now. I just sat there thinking this morning, I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I can get up when I want to. I've got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I guess for 65 of my 75 years. But I don't have to. But you know what time I wake up in the morning? 4:30. And you know what time I'll be up? 5 o'clock. I almost know that's the case. And you know my wife has given me grounds for divorce. She bought a clock. It goes off at 5 o'clock. And it re-goes off at 6 o'clock. And we can't stop the stupid thing. And the reason for that, it never wakes her up. She sleeps through 5. She sleeps through 6. I don't know how she does it. The thing sitting right there in her ear going, and there she is. But you know, that's almost grounds for divorce. But we know that we're tied to time. Opportunity is a time thing. It certainly is. There was a time when I could run any school in this country. I really believe that. I had the strength to do it and enough knowledge to stay out of lawsuits to do it. But that time, as I realize now, has passed. It's not me, though. It's the way they run schools today. I had one of my students call me not too long ago and said, Mr. McConnell, I'm teaching school in Springfield. If I did like you did, I'd be fired before tomorrow night. But I need to do like you did. I didn't tell him to do it because I didn't want to see him get fired. Opportunity passes. I think if you, I'm not hoping this don't hit nobody, if you wait to 90, 95 years old, it's not a real much reason for you to get married. Unless you got 2 rocking chairs. Opportunity passes. An opportunity to be saved passes. And so we all need to recognize that. And then, of course, hope passes. I've been in situations where the doctors have come out and said there is no hope. Someone has said, where there's life, there's hope. That's wrong. Where there's hope, there's life. That's right. And so the Bible says that that time you were without Christ. And without hope in the world. The Bible teaches us very plainly that people who have gone on and died have no hope then to change themselves. What is now that we must do this. I hope you can read some of these on the other, guess who they are, these eternal things. We're all going to deal with every one of these things because we're eternal beings. Nobody cannot choose to deal with eternal things because he is an eternal being. And Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 22, I think it is, the Bible says, no, that's it. That's not it, but I had it wrong. But anyways, the Bible says that the Lord God breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. That's Genesis 2:7. And then the Bible says that the Lord said that he had to run him out of the garden because he sinned. And the Lord said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and to put forth his hand, and to take also the tree of life, and live forever. And the Bible says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he came. So God drove man out. God is an eternal being. He has always been, and he always will be. I read in the 102nd Psalm, and I'll read this to you, and I want you to listen to it, verses numbers 25 through 27. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God is an eternal being. If you haven't dealt with God now, you will deal with God. The Bible teaches that. You can deal with him now, or you can deal with him in the year after. But you will deal with God. Christ is an eternal being. You said, I hadn't had anything to do with Christ. How sad. How sad you haven't had anything to do with the Son of God. You haven't had anything to do with what the Bible says, the person has all authority in heaven and earth. You haven't had anything to do with the Savior of all men, Ephesians 5 and verse 25, the Savior himself. You haven't had anything to do with the head of the church. He is the head of the body of the church. You haven't had anything to do with the eternal judge, but you will. For we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the things done in this body, whether they be good or evil. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, some of us are afraid to live in Nashville, Tennessee, in certain places, or any big city. Some of us are afraid of heights. Some of us are afraid of speeds, and some of us are not afraid of speeds. But if we don't fear the Lord and God, we are in deep trouble. And the Bible teaches us that we must do that. The Bible says that we need to fear Christ. In the beginning was Christ, the Word, and we're going to have to deal with Christ. Number three, we're going to have to deal with the Holy Spirit. How do you deal with the Holy Spirit? Well, one way you deal with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all the truth. John 16:13. If you believe the Bible, you believe this is all the truth God has sent us. You not only believe that, you believe that it is complete, thoroughly furnishing every man alive unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. You believe it's all you need. You believe that it has the power with the Holy Spirit is put into it to generate eternal life. He begets them through the word of truth. You believe that it can purify your souls and help you reach by helping you reach the blood of Christ. Sure, seeing you have purified your souls through obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently with a pure heart, being born again. A lot of people read John 3:3-5, and Nicodemus came, and Jesus told him, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of heaven. And then they don't read 1 Peter 1:21-25, of explaining that. The Bible says that that birth comes from receiving the Word of God. And that Word gives us spiritual life when we obey it. And so we're going to have to deal with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, of course, taught this very plainly when he said that the Comforter has come, he will abide with you forever. And he's still alive and well today. And his word's going to judge us when the time comes. Then you're going to have to also deal with that W. You may never have picked it up. Have you ever looked in this book? Have you ever read any of it? Have you ever memorized any of it? I'd hate to go to judgment not having read the book that's going to be open. You know, if I was going to be judged, and I've had cases time or two to appear in court. Yep, one time for a trip ticket, I wound up paying the $20 because I thought the judge looked so mean that that was pretty well cheap to get out of it. But anyway, I was going to go through and beat that case, and I decided to get it. But we're headed for it to meet this right here. Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great. That means all the dead. You're either small or you're great. Stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their works. When the book says, he that believeth not shall be damned, that's what's going to happen. When the book says, if you don't repent, you're going to perish, that's what's going to happen. When the book says, it is appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment, that's what's... Have you looked in the book that you're going to be judged by? You're going to have to meet the book. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall pass away. I like Psalms 119:89. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven forever. A lot of people don't know what that means. God caused people, the Holy Spirit guiding them, to write this book. Then he caused that Greek language of the first century to die. Living language change all the time. We had an example this morning, the word prevent in 1 Thessalonians 4. We shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, that don't mean prevent now. It means proceed. But dead languages never change. Anthropos meant man in the Greek language, and it still does. Baptizo meant a burial in the Greek language, and it still does. Still does. It doesn't change. And so the word of God does not change. Thy word is settled forever. Nobody adds to it. Nobody takes away from it without being cursed by God. Nobody ignores it without going to meet God and spending eternity in hell. The Bible says in Psalms, Isaiah 40 in verse 8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God shall stand forever. And so you're going to have to deal with the Word of God. Then, of course, you're going to have to deal with the Lord's church. Somebody says, I'm going to have nothing to do with the Lord's church. Yes, you are. You may not do it in this life, but you're going to do it. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:11, into the everlasting kingdom of God. Somebody said, I quit the church. Well, you might have quit the church, but the church is still going. Somebody said, the congregation I was a part of died. Well, it might have died, but the church is still going. Many nations have come and gone, but the Bible says the church shall stand forever. You know what happened when they dug up the pyramids, I'm told, and dug down in them things? They found some seed. And they found among some things some wheat seed. 2,000 years gone by, and they planted wheat seed. And you know what grew up? Corn. Of course, I'm lying to you. You know I'm lying to you. Everybody knows that seed produces after its kind. That's Genesis 1:11. That's the reason you can't have evolution. Every seed, God said, is going to produce after its kind. And that includes the seed of the amoeba or the paramecium, whatever other thing they taught you of. And it never has been an exception. And it never will. And so when you plant the seed, the pure word of God, you're going to produce New Testament Christians. And you're going to produce the New Testament church. Now that's the reason you can't get any worldly names in the Word of God. Where in the world do you find a Catholic in the Bible? Of course it means universal. I could go down the whole list if I wanted to. You can't find that kind of stuff. Where can you find sprinkling and pouring in the Bible? Where can you find praying through in order to be saved from your past sins. You find plenty on prayer. I could go on and on and on. You plant the seed, and you know this is the only religious group in all the world that can be produced by the seed. Aren't you proud to be a man? I'm so proud that I've learned the truth, and I want to go to judgment knowing I know the truth and obedient to the truth. I believe with all my heart it'll save me. You're going to have to deal with the Lord's church. It's going to stand forever. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end. Then cometh the end when he will gather up the church and take it to heaven. That's what it says. And that's what it means. That's what it means. You're going to have to deal with the church, and you're going to have to deal with heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. The Bible very plainly teaches that. The Bible says in John 14 that let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. King James said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Somebody tries to get us to translate that rooms. Well, it is in the Greek back there, rooms. But you know what? A room with love and God and Christ and my loved ones in is heaven. And where they're not, it don't matter where I'm at. And so the Bible says, and there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming for his saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. These things I write unto you that you sorrow not, even as others, look down there, which have no hope. That's what he wrote to the church of Thessalonica. For the Lord Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven with the archangels and with a shout, and the dead in Christ, that's in the Lord's church, shall rise first, and shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, and thus shall they ever be with the Lord. Brethren, when we read the Bible, it tells us some things. We're going to have to deal with heaven. And the Bible says that at heaven there will be certain things, and then there will not be certain things. Revelation 21:8 will fill heaven plumb up. Okay, hell plumb up. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, now he's described heaven. And then he says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers, that's the male prostitutes, and the sorcerers and the idolatrous. And then he says, all liars. You know what that means? That means most of our politicians ain't going to make it. And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Bible's plain. You're going to have to deal with heaven. And then, of course, in dealing with it, you're going to have to deal with hell. Well, is hell eternal? It's just as long as heaven is. Matthew 25:46 is not translated in the English the same way, but it's exactly the same in the Greek. These shall go away into eternal life, and these to an everlasting dark. One says one or the other. By the way, I looked up the words eternal and everlasting and the Greek words in it in preparation for this lesson. And did you know they all come from the exact same? Eternal and then, of course, everlasting come from the same Greek word. In Strong's, you'll find 166 is the number of the word that both come from. So there's no difference in everlasting and eternal. The word eternity, by the way, is only found one time in the Bible. I'm not going to tell you where. Check it out and see if you can find it. But anyway, that's the way hell is. And when you think about hell, don't let nobody tell you that it's short, because it's going to be exactly what the length. God said it in Matthew 25:46. Onios, ton onios, into the ages of the ages. The longest expression possible in the Greek language. You couldn't make it any longer in that language. The Bible says, who shall be punished, 1 Thessalonians 1:5 there in that passage, with everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. Mark 9 says three times, and as he goes through the whole chapter, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Our Seventh-day Adventist friends say, yeah, it'll be eternal fire, but it'll just burn up and go out. That's what they... Of course, you don't have any place to explain that, and it goes against every ounce of common sense, but the Bible teaches that hell is forever and ever and ever. The Bible says in the seventh chapter of the book of Jude, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You have to deal with that. How am I going to deal with that? If you've had trouble dealing with time, and most of us have, and had trouble getting there on time, and I have had that problem all my life, I never have wanted to be late. That's the reason that I have trouble not breaking speed limits. It's not that I want to go fast. I've lost all that. But I like to get there on time. And the hardest thing in the world for me to do is to be late. Always has been. And I guess I'm going to have to adjust somewhat to that. But if you think you've had trouble dealing with that, think about eternity, time, dealing with hell. After you've been there 10,000 years, you've still got forever. After you've been there 10 million years, you still got forever. That's what the book says, and that's what the book sees. You know, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, there's only one way to deal with these people, these things I've said on the left side of this board, right side you're looking at, I guess, and that is to obey the gospel. Jesus died that I could go to heaven and not wind up in hell. Jesus died that I could reach his blood by obeying him and being baptized into his kingdom and living a faithful life till I die. I can do that. You can do that. And I can go to heaven, and you can go to heaven. Heaven, we sing, will surely be worth it all. I bought a house several years ago, and it's been worth every penny I paid for it. Every last penny I paid for it. I'm so proud I bought it. I've got a place that's paid for where I can lay down and go to sleep. I obeyed my Lord 60 years ago. It was the best investment I ever made. I don't know where I'm ready to face death or not, but I do know if I wasn't a Christian, knowing what I know about the Bible, I wouldn't sleep tonight. I wouldn't sleep tonight. You may, but I wouldn't. I know hellfire is hellfire. I was driving a dump truck when I was young and stupid. Someone says, you're old and stupid. And I backed into one of those asphalt mixing plants with my arm out the window, like one of us drivers, you know, we like to drive with one arm out the window. And a big glob of hot oil came down through there and hit me right there. It went almost all the way to the bone. I hollered, but so much noise around, nobody heard me. I screamed, but nobody heard me. And you know what I thought of? I could be in that oil forever and ever. Brethren, someone said, you're trying to... I'm trying to scare you. I would say I'm trying to scare the blank out of you, but I don't want to. Brethren, if you can go home and sleep tonight and you know that you're not ready for heaven and therefore you're bound for that place, don't worry about anything else. You can get along with anything. You can put up with anything. But it probably indicates that you really don't believe the Bible. I'm pleading with you as a dying man to dying men and women. Obey God while you can. He's provided the way. He's provided the blood. He's provided the Savior. He's provided the book. He's provided the heaven. And brethren, he's also provided the hell. Oh, I hope you'll obey him.
while together we stand and while we sing.